The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good morning, everybody, on this Wednesday, the 10th day of April 2024. Cool day. It's in the 60s right now, and it's pretty well going to stay that way. And then things clear up as we work our way through the rest of the week and the weekend. Rangers stumbled against the supposedly terrible A's. Maybe the A's are not terrible. And weird, the Pirates are hot out of the block. Early baseball season is weird. You never know, who's good and who's bad till like at least July. Rangers are trying to win a second World Series in a row. I'm all up for that. Mavericks continue to just knock out win after win after win. Stars bound for the playoffs. Aaron, there's another Stanley Cup in our future. It's wild. I mean, I don't know if the Cowboys are what they are. It drives us crazy. But it may be that this is a singular moment with all of our sports teams where, I mean, look how good everybody is. And I know Cowboys compared to whom, but I mean, playoff worthy, right? Everybody's playoff worthy. So, interesting times ahead. Now, in the world of politics, there's so much speculation. Everybody texts me and writes me, "Hey, Mark, who do you think Trump's running mate's going to be?" Like, I know. Those who know aren't talking, and those who are talking don't know. I caught a little bit of affectionate grief because I've spent a lot of time talking about J.D. Vance and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And because I just think those would be cool, counterintuitive, people under 80 who certainly seem complimentary, to the Trump ethos. And it's not that Tim Scott does not. It's not that I don't love him, because I really, really do. But I just don't know. Tim Scott was on Hannity last night, and one of the first questions being asked of him was, "Hey, Senator, how do you feel about the networks?" I think it was an ABC story, and I love how all the reporters think they know or think they have a source. And the thing about sources, especially unnamed ones, is they just love being in the paper, even anonymously, where they can point to a story and go, "See that unnamed source? Ah, that was me." By spouting off to some reporter when they have absolutely no clue whom Trump is going to take. Now, we are three months away. We're like 3 months away. The Republican convention is in Milwaukee in the middle of July. So will he pick somebody before that, or will there be a big reveal at the convention? I don't know. Anyway, though, people say, "Hey, give Tim Scott a chance." Of course, give Tim Scott a chance. He's great. His attributes are obvious. His loyalty to the president is extremely obvious, and that those are all good things. I think it's my obsession with the fighter's spirit, and not that I need everybody to be bellicose and sharp elbowed and attack dog, at all time. Not at all. Sometimes you just need a break from that. In fact, when you have somebody who is as caustic as Trump himself can be, if there's somebody who has a kind of a nuanced edge, that can be good. But by and large, I want somebody who can mix it up with some verve and skill and weaponry that is useful. And I don't know if that's in the Tim Scott skill set. And that's not criticism, because he's just a sweet, kind, wonderful, substantial, accomplished man. Vice president, I don't know. We'll listen and see what we think about that as we examine all those possibilities. There's an item in the news today that we'll talk about that takes me back. There's been a lot of history in my head lately because just a few days ago, we celebrated 30 years together of talk shows here in DFW. Thank you. As we work our way through those second 30 years, I'm taken back to when we had been together for only 5 years. It was five and change. It was Thanksgiving season of 1999. If there's one thing I had become really appreciative of in returning to my native Texas, it was the opportunity to immerse myself as a grown-up in college culture. Boy, back when, remember when college culture was good and still is? There's so much to recommend these fine universities, but wow, what a minefield it's become. But this wasn't really as front of mind back in the days of 1999. It was all about Longhorns and Aggies and Sooners and guns up for the Red Raiders and the Baylor Bears. Big 12 and just all the rivalries and all the Austin culture versus College Station culture. And I became pretty fascinated, and I'd had a sort of a peripheral, or as they say in Maryland, peripheral understanding of Aggie tradition and this and that, and midnight yell practices and Corps of Cadets and all this. But so I got here in 94, 95, 96, 97, 98. And I just took a look at that bonfire and I said, dude, that's just one of the coolest things, because Texas and Texas A&M would play Thanksgiving weekend every year. And one of the big things they would do in Aggieland is they would fire them up a bonfire, like 60 feet of tightly stacked wood. And they would light that thing on fire. And it was just something to behold. And then in 1999, it collapsed. Killed 12, and the bonfire went away. It might be back. And the timing is interesting, because you know what else is back? Aggies Longhorns. That's what's back. I think it's November 30th, because everybody's in the SEC now. They're no longer, playing, Baylor and TCU. Now Texas and Oklahoma are going to be playing Alabama and LSU and Vanderbilt, and feasting on Vanderbilt, because that's what everybody does. So now they're back in the same conference. They're going to play each other again for the first time in a dozen years or so. There is the notion of bringing the bonfire back. And I've been saying this for, I don't know, about 25 years, because that's how long it's been. But after about five, I think I said, guys, I know that was a huge problem, but does the entire tradition, must it remain banished? And they were doing like junior bonfires, like off campus. It's not the same. It's just not the same. And in those shows at the time, here I am, just talk show guy with a deep, deep appreciation of Aggie culture. In fact, trivia question, Tarrant County, this may have changed since then, but as of about 20 years ago, there were only two non-Aggies who had been the keynote speaker at the muster ceremony. The muster ceremony is something to see, where members of the club who had been departed in a dark and candlelit room and boots on the tables and names read, just amazing. And to be invited to speak at the Tarrant County A&M Club, I think this was circa 04, that at the time I was informed that I was only the second non-Aggie, non-Texas A&M alumnus to have ever spoken to that club. And the other one was? Roger Staubach, who I think went to Navy, as you'll recall. So that was good rarefied air, and it was just an unbelievable joy. So I had a huge appreciation of Aggie culture, but stuck my foot in it, I guess. I don't know, in the minds of some, when I said, traditions are great, but was it possible this got a little sloppy? They're flying around and there's some alcohol in there and maybe everybody's not being quite as careful and they got, folks, sticking logs in there at 3 o'clock in the morning. Is it possible that maybe it wasn't the most carefully supervised thing? And oh, it was like I talked about somebody's mama or worse. And then I started to get the very interesting, and I understand this, for Aggie culture, if you're on the inside, there's no need to explain. And if you're on the outside, there's no explaining that can be done, which has a certain poetry to it, but it's also a big excuse. And at least it struck me that way at the time. But I told everybody, look, you're, please, I love you. I want this thing. I want this thing to be able to continue. And now a quarter century later, maybe it will. And Teresa Woodard had a story on that Channel 8 last night. Oh, call to that effect here in just a moment. We are in Como. Hi, Deborah. Happy Wednesday. How are you?
Hi there.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
So 25 years ago, mm-hmm. I walked into work, worked for an insurance company. And I'm afraid to start crying. And they said, hey, I need you to pack up and run down to College Station because the bonfire fell. And we insured some people who were volunteering.
Whoa.
And I'm an Aggie, by the way, class 89. Whoa. And Wesleyan Law, which is now Texas A&M.
Yes, ma'am.
03. So I packed up and took off down there for about 3 days and stood around and helped and watched as the attorneys gathered information and pretty much supervised that part of it until it settled. Can't really talk about too much of that, but you know, the bonfire was a big part of my Texas A&M journey. And it's been a big part
of course
of my family.
What was it like for you? So your years at A&M as an undergrad were when, roughly?
85 through 89.
So a decade later, you find yourself back on the campus as a professional adult doing insurance work at a horrible tragedy yeah. that has stained a cherished tradition. How did you feel then?
Right.
And how did you feel then? And how do you feel now?
Oh, it was dark, but it was also, you know, being an Aggie. And I didn't have any Aggies in my family, but mm-hmm. being there and benefiting from the culture and the camaraderie, even and really mostly after graduation, is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But how the community and the university and the alumni came together
yep.
was breathtaking. I mean, I can't even describe it, how it was dark and wonderful all at the same time.
I know.
Time.
And this is, please, everybody has to understand if you're new to town or new to the planet. And I'm glad that this rivalry can be back now because you're in the same kind. This is one of the sweetest, most magnificent, and by sweet, I just mean delicious to consume,
yep.
rivalries in the history of college sport. And it's weird because we say that the Aggies and the Longhorns just really hate each other. It's not hate. It is an incredible grudging feud born of love and mutual appreciation and the deference and love and respect shown to A&M by the Longhorns.
Oh, yeah.
that year in that year's game, I'll never forget it. So listen, before we go blubber it all over each other,
at Reed Arena that night,
yeah,
it was the most serene and somebody in the silence, somebody started a cappella singing "Amazing Grace."
So Deborah, here you are. Is it time for this tradition to be brought back?
Yeah, I think it's fine where it is.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think it's wise for the university to bring it back just because, you know, mm-hmm. I've come from an insurance family and then
yeah.
I go to law school. And,
you don't want anybody to do anything.
That's
a lot, Killjoy. Yeah.
I love fun, and we've been to the Renegade several times, and my niece is an Aggie, and we've been back, and it's, you know, it's just part of us.
Yeah.
And but man, the liability.
Last thing, I'm so grateful to hear from you, since it's a bit of history that we're going to talk about, and a lot of people listening just might not have been here 25 years ago. So did they get this right? A&M had to write some pretty big checks to some victims and their families. Was that proper? Was it ultimately a case of pretty tragic negligence?
Yeah, I really can't speak to that.
Okay.
I would love to be able to, but I can't. But
exactly. Call me at home.
In the grand scheme of things,
yeah.
it was the right thing to do.
Okay.
And one thing before
sure.
we go,
sure.
heart and lung scan thing.
Uh-huh.
I had one. I bought a coupon at the fair. It saved my life. It found a very small lung cancer nodule on my lung. I had no symptoms. I had no reason to get it done except for I thought it was a good idea, and it saved my life. I didn't have to have chemo or radiation. So if anybody hears your ads and is even doubting or even thinking twice about it, go do it. It can't hurt, and it could save your life and your hair and a whole bunch of inconvenience and pain.
If I didn't love you 30 seconds ago, and I did, I sure do now. They sure do at ViaScan of Las Colinas. Deborah, thank you. Give me a buzz anytime and bless you and gig 'em and thank you, thank you, thank you. 722. Was an interesting act. Stray Cats. 1981. Echoing a rockabilly sound that was like 25 years old at the time. Brian Setzer with All That Hairspray out front of the Stray Cats. You ready? He's 65 today. It's the Mark Davis Show. Making everybody feel old. Well, let's get out of here right away and get into the news here in a moment. Listen, that was so cool. And I'm just at the opening of the show, I'm just sort of mentioning, hey, here's some stuff that we're going to do today. And didn't even get to a guy we'll be talking to in a little over an hour, a gentleman named Michael Waller. He used to be a CIA operative. That's a fun story to tell. But what he's done is taken his expertise at that and working at the Center for Security Policy, a wonderful think tank. And he's written a book called Big Intel. And if there's the word big in front of it, it's never good. Big government, big medicine. If it's big, it's like a synonym for bad. Big Intel is a story about how the CIA and the FBI, remember when we used to like them? And I still do. I mean, the individual agents, please, they're heroes walking among us. But institutionally and managerially, the CIA and the FBI, their victimization of conservatives, their political hackery, that's just not good. So he's got a book called Big Intel about how the CIA and FBI went from Cold War heroes to deep state villains. That's 835. But just to tie a little bow around this, and then we'll return to it. I remember November 18th, 1999, and the bonfire had collapsed at 2:45 in the morning. And by the time the sun was up, you got satellite trucks. This was a worldwide story. And we'll sort of revisit here in just a little bit, but there's a guy that I'd love to know what he is up to. There were 58 students and former students working the stack. 12 were killed, 27 injured. 10 students and one former student killed in the initial collapse, and another one died in the hospital the next day, bringing the total death toll to 12. There's a guy named John Comstock. John Comstock was the last living person to be removed from the stack. Do you remember when they were fishing through that monstrous pile, just trying to see who was still alive? He spent months in the hospital following amputation of his left leg and partial paralysis of his right side. Wonder what John Comstock is doing now, because he returned to A&M 2 years later to finish his degree. So anyway, all right. So they're looking at bringing Aggie Bonfire back, and I couldn't wish them better. It needs to, and they need to be a smidge more careful, please. So let's hop into the newsroom with Nikki Whaley, and then when we come back, one of the big stories that grabbed a hold of me yesterday was if your kid goes and shoots up a school, but you were just wildly negligent as a parent. Could have stopped him, maybe, I guess. Ignored a ton of warning signs. Do you go to jail for 10 or 15 years? Apparently, that's a yes. Do we love that? Are we okay with that? Your thoughts, please. Get ready. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 732. Nikki Whaley is in the newsroom.
Breaking news, stimulating talk. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
Overcast, 62 degrees. I'm Nikki Whaley. A Dallas police sergeant is in custody and accused of stealing three guns from the police department. Investigators claim that Sergeant Thomas Fry stole three duty weapons in 2021 and 2022 from the Southeast Patrol Division where he was assigned at that time. He most recently worked at the jail. Fry turned himself in to the Mesquite police on Monday, and he's charged with three counts of theft of a firearm. A new report says turnover among election officials in Texas is holding steady at 40%. That's slightly higher than the national average of 39%. Tuesday's report from the Bipartisan Policy Center defines turnover as a change in jurisdiction's chief election administrator since the November general election 4 years ago. Some election observers are concerned that the high turnover rates may lead to increased election challenges and lower voter confidence in the electoral process. And one of the most coveted comics of all times has sold at an auction that was held in Dallas. Action Comics number one features the first appearance of Superman. The bidding at Heritage Auctions set a record at $6 million. This report is sponsored by True Green. True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 20th, you get one application free. Call or visit truegreen.com today. Restrictions apply. It's 62 degrees. Now you know what's going on. I'm Nikki Whaley on 660 AM The Answer.
Traffic Watch.
Looks like there's a new wreck now as you make your way southbound out of Garland into Mesquite on 635 LBJ. It's going to be right at Oates, a wreck in that right lane. Traffic is stacked up toward La Prada. Only a couple of minutes on the delay so far. There's also an issue in Fort Worth on eastbound I-30 at Riverside. That's going to be a vehicle fire blocking the right lane, causing delays from Highway 287. Allied Outdoor Solutions can create the outdoor oasis you've been dreaming of. Hardscapes, shade structures, complete outdoor kitchens, and fire features. Bill now, pay later. Endorsed by Mark Davis, visit AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. Now you know what's going on. I'm Michael Scott on 660 AM, The Answer Traffic Watch.
Attention high school students, are you ready to take on the ultimate challenge? Have you ever imagined yourself soaring through the skies as a pilot, navigating the seas as a naval officer, or leading troops on the ground? Well, now's your chance. This is Congressman Keith Self, retired Lieutenant Colonel and proud graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point. The military academies of our great nation, the Military Academy, the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy, the Merchant Marine Academy, and the Coast Guard Academy are waiting to welcome the next generation of leaders, and that could be you. Receive an education like no other, academic excellence and world-class leadership training. Our office is accepting applications now. I encourage you to attend the Service Academies Forum on April the 6th. To find out more information, visit keithself.house.gov. Begin the journey of a lifetime. Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
Relief Factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Chad on the life-changing rewards of real estate investing.
Residents come in thanking you for taking what was dull and drab and turning it around and making their lives better. It's definitely a blessing.
Become a life changer today with Lifestyles Unlimited. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024. Join the Financial Freedom Program for just $297 for 2 years. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Code 2024.
Some of you listening may have tickets to one of the coolest venues in DFW tonight to see a show that will take you back to some back-in-the-day trippy 60s British rock. It's going to be great. Don't get ahead of me, so we'll throw some love to that guy and that show here in 60 seconds. Let me throw you some love to Compassion Construction. You need them in your contacts. I used to say speed dial. I'm so old. The folks at Compassion Construction are ready. Corey McLaughlin's team ready to deploy. Did you have some hail the other night? Many did. Have any water damage? Many do. Anything that you call insurance for. Anything you call insurance for, call Compassion. Like, get them out there for the same day. 817-919-0000. 817-919-0000. Because what they're going to do is just be there with their eyes and their brains and just look at everything and make sure the insurance folks cut a check for the right amount for you to put your house back the way it needs to be. Now let's talk about making your house better. Just better remodeling, better kitchen, better bathroom, hardwood floors, cabinets, other cool stuff. Just a punch list to make the house better. Maybe you're about to sell it and you just want to improve some things, or maybe you just want to improve some things. Compassion Construction is my remodeling company as well. 817-919-0000 or CompassionConstruction.com. That is CompassionConstruction.com.
What happened while you slept? Mark Davis has the answer. 660 AM, The Answer.
The greatness of traffic. Dear Mr. Fantasy. Fantasy. 40,000 headmen. Low spark of high-heeled boys. That's a great album title. Obviously, Steve Winwood there, but Dave Mason in the formative stages of traffic. And the act is billed as Dave Mason's Traffic. And because I probably, the lawyers probably got involved there, and I don't know if you can call yourself traffic anymore. But if you put the modifier in there, I mean, it's Dave Mason, dude. So you're not going to get a lot of we just disagree and stuff like that. But there's some traffic, some blind faith, like can't find my way home. Not to give away the set list, but hey, I checked. So anyway, Dave Mason tonight. An interesting opening for Dave Mason. Jefferson Starship. No, wait a minute. What? Yeah. Which at this point is kind of a tribute band. No more Mickey Thomas. Grace Slick, long way. The only guy really there was from the old, when Jefferson Airplane became Jefferson Starship, is David Freiberg. So he's still there. A woman named Kathy Richardson is doing sort of the Grace Slick vocal parts and guitar stuff. So it's, you know, you're still going to get the tunes. So Dave Mason's Traffic and Jefferson Starship tonight at the Longhorn Ballroom down riverfront from 35 and sort of south of downtown Dallas. Longhorn Ballroom is one of the coolest places you'll ever see anybody. So there's tonight's concert news. Already 866-660-5759. Look, before I even get into some of the nuts and bolts of the story. In fact, let me do it really briefly because we have calls already, because this is particularly valuable. The first parents to be held criminally responsible for a mass school shooting committed by their child were each sentenced to 10 to 15 years for manslaughter, not aiding and abetting, not what one judge called felony stupidity. This was Elizabeth Scherer. She was kind of interesting. She was the judge in the Florida Parkland shooting. She was the judge, and now she's out being a lawyer and doing commentating. And she was on Jesse Waters last night. She said, they used to call this felony stupidity. There are things where you are so negligent, so stupid, so thoughtless that you've committed a crime, like leaving your kid in the back seat while you go into Home Depot in August, you know, stuff like that. I get it. But 10 to 15 years in prison for manslaughter? What? I mean, okay. I'm not throwing shade at this. I don't think. I am just like Tucker. I'm just asking questions. So let me get some early thoughts on this, and then I'll tell you exactly what they did or did or famously did not do in the case of their deeply, deeply twisted son, Ethan Crumbly, who is in jail forever. 866-660-5759. We are in Azle. Juanita, hi. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I had a couple issues with, I'm not so sure about, I think the timeline was too stiff for him. I don't think they knew he was actually going to go in there and do that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But my thing on them, I think the school officials who were involved should have been held accountable, because why? They are mandators, state mandators. They should have called CPS. They're very quick to call on a parent, you know, here. And why didn't they call the parent?
Well, okay, they did. They had the parents in the school that morning saying, hey, we think your kid's jacked up. He's drawing and saying really disturbing things, and we think you need to, like, take him home now. And they said, no, I think we're good. And the school said, whoa, wait. So I guess they chose not to kick a 15-year-old out into the street with no parents to take him home, and he shot up the school that afternoon.
Why didn't they call the mental health? They could have done that without and have him. They should have had him evaluated immediately.
Can they do that unilaterally? Give me a story of a school calling mental health on a kid without the parents' approval, and then I got another whole talk show. Even though this looks like it cries out for that. I mean, you got a great point, but you know, good luck. Say again. I'm sorry.
I know. It's been done before. They have called mental health.
Where the parents didn't know it or had not signed off?
Yes.
What do we think of that?
Well, I think it's in the best interest of the kid.
Yeah, everybody's in the best interest. Be very wary of people who are doing things in the best interest of the kid these days. I wish we could trust people who always said they were doing things in the best interest of the kid. But, you know, in this case, it would have been. And 2020 hindsight, I know, but sometimes you learn lessons. Good points, Juanita. Thank you very, very much. And we are in Stephenville. Greg, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I totally understand where this prosecution is coming from and the frustration and disappointment. I mean, are we going to call this the crappy parent law?
Yeah.
Where do we draw the line? And a big example for me is the inner city violence, the complete rampaging of stores, carjacking, random shootings, drive-by shootings. And most of these kids have had plenty of social media pictures, you know, holding their 9 and their Glock and, you know, fans of money, and totally misbehavior, plus listening to the poison of rap music, much of it, glorifying this. And the parents seemingly are quite aware of this, a lot of the broken homes. And what this is so important to me is one of my 3 sons, and I've been blessed with amazing sons. He's a pastor in Washington, D.C., lives downtown, and serving God. And so I have my trust is in the Lord, calling him to that. And they're having their first son, first child, at the end of this month. And so it just kind of, this has been on my radar.
Of course.
Like, where do you draw the line of responsibility?
Of course. What a spectacular question, because even if you have, none of these cases are easy, I guess, but if there is one where a lot of people will look at these parents and go, oh, yeah. I mean, this has got to be some criminal level of willful blindness. But you can find willful blindness everywhere. And where's the magic line beyond which it's a crime that gets you put away for 10 to 15 years? I bet I could follow some households around with a drone and see all, and just with secret surveillance, and see all kinds of things going, dude, there's something right in front of your face. How are you not seeing this? And if that particular kid does something bad that particular afternoon, couldn't you retroactively go, man, you should have seen. Greg, thanks. Now this is kind of wild, because there is a, there's a comedian, and I'd say the best comedy pulls material straight from life. Have you ever heard of Sebastian Maniscalco? He's great.
That's why I'm shocked to hear these parents today have no idea what their kids are doing. Right? You hear it on the news all the time. We had no idea. Kids in his room with 16 bazookas, 19 grenades. He's going to school dressed as Darth Vader. You don't look in the room. It starts at the house.
Exactly right. It starts at the house. Jeff, welcome to the program. How you doing, sir?
Hey, what's going on, Mark? How are you?
Doing good. Thanks.
So you actually know me as the good Jew. I haven't talked to you in a long, long time, if you remember that.
Help me. Do you remember that? Okay, it rings a faint bell, but that would imply that anybody ever referred to somebody as the bad one. What was the? Give me the context of that, and then let's go where we're going to go.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to take up too much time of it, but it was just funny because we were talking about the mosques and how they were, you know, the government was going into these mosques asking a lot of questions. And right. I was like, hey, if you're a Muslim and you're doing bad things, of course you don't want them in. But if you're a good Muslim and they're going into these mosques, you should welcome them in. You know, you should be saying, come on in. We're not doing anything bad. I was like, just like I'm a Jew. And if they were coming into our temples and Jewish people were doing stuff bad, I'd be like, stay away. But if we were good Jews, we'd be like, come on in and look around. Gotcha.
All righty.
So that was it a long time ago.
Thanks for the history. Great to have you back.
Anyway, in regards to the school shooting, I was telling Rhonda, I don't know the facts. So I was going to see a lot of times listeners are listening and we don't know all the facts as we were, you know, but we do know what happened. So in terms of the parents, what did they know?
Well, they knew that they had a deeply disturbed kid. They knew that he had been drawing and doing really, really disturbing things. It appears they were grossly negligent in allowing this kid to have access to the gun and ignoring signs of his spiraling mental health. They bought the gun for the kid on Black Friday, 4 days before the shooting, and the next day, mom takes the kid out of the firing range for target practice. Okay, so far so good. Ethan and I are out of the range all the time. Yeah, but we're not mentally ill.
Was this guy actually going to like a doctor? Was he going to someone like a psychiatrist, psychologist, somebody talking to them?
The school was aware of this, but was there a lengthy mental health history of Ethan Crumley getting the kind of help that you'd like to have him get? No.
Okay, so my thought on this then, let me just kind of explain and let's go a little deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And where does this end? So let me explain something to you. Let's say, Mark, you're out at lunch sometime and you meet a Muslim person that's super sweet, super nice, and they sit there and make a comment to you
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, I'm just sick of America. God, the way that it's run and with these Democrats, and I just hate America. I'm so sick of it. It's just annoying. And then all of a sudden that same person, you don't call the police, you don't turn them in, but then they go and shoot up something or they do something bad and kill a bunch of Americans. And it's like, Mark, why didn't you call the police and say something about it?
I think that we need an apples and apples example, because I know where you're going, though. At what point is there complicity? At what point is there such willful negligence that you've committed a crime? Meeting a guy at the food court probably doesn't apply. Maybe. I mean, if somebody literally says, I am thinking of, you know, placing a bomb in the parking garage, then I probably do have a responsibility to go to mall security and see how that works out. But if there's a kid living in your house, daily evidence that he's just spiraling, the bar is set differently. Jeff, give me a buzz anytime. Thank you. These parents were epically negligent. I'm not trying to suggest that they need to have awards for good parenting, but 10 to 15 years. Let me give you one pronouncement, if I may, and then we'll break, come back. I'll start to fill in some of the blanks on this. We'll carry it into the 8 o'clock hour, along with other topics as well. If we are at the point at which we're going to start jailing other people for not doing enough to restrain what some other bad people do, then I want to see charges brought against soft on crime, blue state, blue city, DAs, attorneys general, who willfully allow terrible, terrible people to go free, who allow people to go unpunished, underpunished, letting them back in the street. deaths that happen at those people's hands, maybe we have some blue state soft on crime law enforcement people who need to serve a little time as well, if we're going to start blaming others for not doing enough to stop other people. Just saying. 752. The movie was Ruby Gentry. The song was Ruby from the Richard Heyman Orchestra, and it was a big hit in the spring of 1953. So looking at the clock here, rather than start something that I can't finish on time, let us cruise into the top of the hour news. Come back. I'll give you, I'll fill in some of the blanks on what these parents did or didn't do that got them 10 to 15 years for their kids shooting up a school. And we'll explore that and then dive off into some other things in our 8 o'clock hour. Many adventures yet to explore here on this Wednesday, April 10th. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Do stick around.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.